This week, coming to you from the University of the South Pacific in the Cook Islands in Rarotonga, the Research Funding Accelerator looks at research capability and capacity mapping. How many of you would like to learn how to understand your research strengths aligned to funding sources so you can make projections about growth and need for the future? Keep listening to find out how to make a capability and capacity map, whether it be for a research group, a department, a faculty, a university, or even a country.
Welcome to the Research Funding Accelerator, where Dr. Tracy Swift, author of How Smart People Win Research Funding in New Zealand, provides a weekly commentary on strategies, tactics, and techniques to help researchers make their proposals more competitive and increase their odds of winning funding so they can do more and better research.
The traditional Polynesian calendar relies on the moon rather than the sun to mark time, and each of the 15 islands has a different moon, steeped in wisdom and maintained by the elders on each island. In times gone by, the moon phase told the islanders when to fish and what to fish. It told them when to plant and what to plant. It told them when to make love if they wanted a son or a daughter or twins. There are even particular phases of the moon for having a red-haired child. Being dependent on fishing and planting for sustenance, historically the islanders relied on the moon and its phases to help them accomplish whatever they needed to do. It was a guide that enabled them to maintain their most precious asset, land, in a sustainable way. Over time, many of the islands moved away from a lunar calendar and their population grew and expanded, and there's been a huge diaspora as younger people needed to find more land. About 40,000 Cook Islanders live in New Zealand and another 20,000 in Australia. The Cook Islands is a group of 15 islands, 12 of which are populated, and they cover an area of 2.25 million square kilometres. But if grouped together, they would have a land mass of only 240 square kilometres. The Cook Islands has been a self-governing state in free association with New Zealand since 1965, which is why every Cook Islander has a New Zealand passport. As a state, it has a population of about 13,000, with one university across the islands. The University of the South Pacific Cook Islands, or USPCI, has a strategic objective to grow in-country researchers. What they really mean to say is that they are seeking to grow their capability and their capacity. This topic is current because I'm actually in Rarotonga in the Cook Islands at the moment, and while I'm here, I'll spend some time with researchers who've studied in New Zealand and returned to the Cook Islands to do their research. The inspiration for my topic today is the Path of the Moon, and we'll look specifically at capability and capacity mapping as a guide for growth and sustainability of research groups and disciplines. It's rare today that researchers work alone. They mainly work in teams, and really this is about the sum being greater than the parts. So there is a tension to grow and advance both the individual endeavour as well as the group, the department, the discipline, or the university as a whole, or even countries. And what this means is that we need to understand the operating context, whether it be a government, an organisation, a single department, or a research group. So whatever context you are working in, this information will apply to you. Because of the close links to New Zealand and the commitment of the New Zealand government to support tertiary education and research through investment streams, specifically for Pacifica, it is relevant for us to cover in the podcast. And first we'll look at the four steps to actually building a capability and capacity map. The first three of these are fairly generic and you can use them in research groups, departments and whole organisations. The principles can even be applied at a government level. So when I talk about research group, know that this can mean departments and an organisation, and I'll differentiate a little bit for government. As the principles are generic, I'll talk about them generically until I get to step four, where I will talk specifically about Pacifica-related research opportunities, and then return to how the Cook Islands can grow capability and capacity in conclusion. So step one, understand capability. The dictionary definition of capability is the power or ability to do something. But when we use the term research capability, we mean one, the number of researchers overall per discipline or field, and two, the level of those researchers. Are they PhD candidates? Are they professors? Are they associate professors? Are they technicians? Why is this important? If you're in a research group, a department, or a university, it helps to know the specific grants that can be applied for in terms of eligibility. It helps us to know the discipline and the depth of that discipline or the field in the context of internal funds for infrastructure or investment. So investment can also mean in positions required to grow the discipline. For example, it could be in senior positions that can supervise PhDs, or it could be in postdoctoral fellowships that have a teaching and tutoring aspect to them and a research element so that they can support researchers. And there's also something about reach. And if you're mapping for a group, you'll want to know where your group actually ranks with other groups doing similar research, or at least how your group compares with world-class groups in other places. So you'll need to know how many journal articles, books, PhD completions, conferences, grants, the dollar value, and things of this nature to actually understand where your group is in terms of excellence. You can control for size if you want to. It will give you a better idea of how good you really are and what you need to do in order to aspire to demonstrate the same level of excellence. And that will help you to understand what you actually need. So governments often also want to know the number of researchers in a particular field or discipline. They want to know where they're located and how much money has been invested in a particular discipline or field, and what the return is in terms of outcomes and what has actually been achieved on that investment. Governments do this same kind of exercise because they want to assess the strength and depth of the return on investment for funding and as a guide to their future investment decisions. This is also a form of capacity and capability mapping, and in terms of the New Zealand system, this is addressed in publicly available documents such as the National Statement on Science Investment and the State of Research Performance, which is conducted each year. So many of you will also know about the National Research Information System that has been established to support this kind of mapping, so that all of the data that is available in terms of who's doing what and where and how is collected on a national scale. Step two is you need to identify the capacity you have for a chosen field. So for capacity, we're actually talking about how much extra effort can the existing numbers of researchers take on. In order to do this, you'll need to profile the group as to the researchers' level and quantify where they are in terms of their career trajectory. And you need to do this because you need an idea of the sustainability of the group. Those groups that have longevity already, you'll need to ascertain whether they're predominantly in the mature phases of their career, so that the research needs to be underpinned perhaps by new postdocs or PhD studentships coming in. And another critical important aspect of capacity mapping is to understand the current workload model. If you only have one or a couple of star researchers, for example, and they are the grant holders, and they're supervising and doing teaching according to a typical 40-40-20 workload model, where 40% of their time is supposed to be research, 40% teaching, and 20% service, trying to grow or expect them to apply for more grants may not be feasible if they're already at their full capacity. Critically, you should be looking at which grant sources have funded the group in the past and when those grants are actually due to expire or scheduled to conclude. And you need to start planning for the next grant application so that the group can have an expectation of funding in the pipeline and that they're working to a state of continuous funding. For governments looking at capacity, it follows similar guidelines, but governments are interested in the depth of the discipline for years to come and on a national scale and what the benefits are. So government looks at where more research funding is needed and also where the workforce development is needed. And that means they're looking at where they need to fund more PhD studentships and postdoctoral fellowships. Step three is about identifying the opportunities. So the next stage is to look for opportunities that match the development you want for your group. So what kind of things might you look for? You might look for funding opportunities, either in-country or internationally. You might look for opportunities to collaborate, looking for groups that are doing similar research and have papers or items in Figshare or SlideShare that are cognate to your research area. Can you use this knowledge to organise reciprocal research visits as a way to grow the experience of your group, for example? If you've identified a group that is similar to yours, where are they getting their funding from? Is there an opportunity to get money from the same source? Perhaps it's a source you haven't tried before. If eligibility is a problem for an overseas funder, for example, and you can't get direct funding, can you collaborate and contribute your domestic funding to match theirs and do a joint project so you expand your data source and your reach in terms of comparative studies? And step four is about current opportunities for Pacifica research funding in New Zealand. We said a moment ago that government will usually signal and support workforce development for strategic objectives. So it's a fair call to look for Pacifica PhD and postdoctoral fellowship funding opportunities in New Zealand, and there are a number on offer. And if there is a fellowship or a particular research funding offered in New Zealand for Pacifica development, then you know that that subject area is of strategic importance to New Zealand. So you can look at the MBIE, the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment. They do specific research development proposals. They support it for Pacifica, as do the Health Research Council. But just remember that if you are applying to do health-related research in the Cook Islands, even if you get the money from New Zealand, you need to obtain permission from the Cook Islands Health Research Association. And you do well to get that in the pipeline prior to applying perhaps to the HRC or one of the other funders. And a really good tip here is that one advantage of applying for these types of grants is that the competition is usually lower. So that means that your chance of success is higher. And also, as a relatively wealthy nation, New Zealand contributes financial aid to Pacific neighbour nations. And a major way it does that is contributes through scholarships administered by MFAT. Now, these are not directly research specific, but it does give you yet another opportunity to encourage students who may want to come and work in your research group to apply for an MFAT scholarship. Just imagine what would it do for you and your group if you were to develop a capability and capacity map and you identified the strengths and opportunities of your group. What would it enable you to do? I would suggest it would help you in four discrete ways. Number one, having a map takes away the randomness of the funding cycles. What it means is you know when to apply and you know when the grants are coming to an end already, and your map helps you out. It helps you to even out the peaks and the troughs of applying for funding. Secondly, if you do the identification of funding opportunities properly, particularly if you identify other streams of funding, say internationally, you can build a plan around applying to those funders. Thirdly, you know where the investment, particularly of staff and infrastructure, will make the most difference. So if you're applying for internal funding in your organisation, you know exactly where you're going to need the support. And number four, it will help you to make a compelling business case for more resources. So to return to our opening sequence, we know that the Cook Islands wants to grow the number of in-country researchers We also know that there is New Zealand government agency support through the various grants available, specifically for workforce development for emerging Pacifica researchers. So what is needed here is a comprehensive capability and capacity map of the disciplines, the availability and the funding sources to support the areas of need. In this way, the University of the South Pacific, Cook Islands, will have a path of the moon for research. Thank you for listening, and as they say in the Cook Islands, may you live long.
Thanks for listening to the Research Funding Accelerator. For more, follow Dr. Tracy Swift on Twitter at Dr. Tracy Swift 1.